You have your Bibles, will you turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 15. There's a new version of a verse you're all familiar with. It goes like this. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will be afraid of what is in it. That isn't what the scripture says, is it? Psalm 118, verse 24 says, this is the day which the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Those of you that are saved, you have something to be rejoicing about. I want to share something with you about a very common thing that people use as an excuse for everything. As a matter of fact, I was just reading this morning. Are you familiar with the Muslim guy who shot the Marines, Navy guy, this week over in Chattanooga? They're saying now that the reason he did it was because he was depressed. That seems to be the catch-all for everything now. If you're depressed, it allows you to go rob a bank, rape, steal, have a home invasion because you're depressed. That's ridiculous. But we all know people who will tell us, you know, I'm close to a nervous breakdown. Or I've had as much as I can take. I just can't take any more. I'm just so down. We all know people like this. So what does the Bible say to help them? How can a person like that find any hope to get turned around? That doesn't excuse the behavior that they have, but it is something so that they can personally avoid an awful lot of pain within themselves. And the Bible does address this in many different areas. But you see, you have to get to the basic. Why does a person become depressed? You will not find a person being depressed who has something good to look forward to. A person who has a future that they're excited about, a future that they're looking forward to, they never get depressed, so long as they're focusing in on that. A person who is depressed very often uses their imagination to anticipate that things up ahead are going to get worse and worse and worse than what they already are. And this is where the problem comes in. And we see this happening in many areas of Scripture. Over in the book of Exodus, chapter 15, look at verse 22. It says, Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah, which means bitter. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Now, we know from Scripture that there were several occasions where the children of Israel got to this point where they said, you know, we're about to die. We have got to have water. We've got to have food. And this, of course, was a test. God allowed them to get to that point. He was going to provide for them anyway. But it was a test so that they could see themselves. What am I going to do when it looks like I'm close to running out? What am I going to do? You know how it is when you get close to running out of a food that you're used to having. Let's say bread. Sometimes people will panic and they'll say, oh, got to go down to the store right away and get a loaf of bread. And then, so they go 20 miles to get a loaf of bread. They have saltines or something up there, and they could have had that and would hold them off until the next day, but they'll panic, and they say, I've got to have this. I'm just about out. Haven't you ever, when you look in the refrigerator and you say, oh, I'm out of milk or I'm out of soda, bread or whatever, said, oh, I've got to get some right away. This is something that is very typical because humans have this fear factor. They look up ahead and they say, oh, I'm going to run out. I know a lady who was a fanatic on this, and she liked making spaghetti, and not, you know, from scratch, but she liked making spaghetti and would get the jars of it. And one day she realized, I'm down to just two jars. And she absolutely panicked. She called her friends. She didn't have a driver's license. She called her friends and relatives and finally found somebody who could take her to the store. She went to the store and bought like 15 or 20 jars of spaghetti. Now, how long is it going to take for you to go through all those jars of spaghetti? But you see, this pacified her. This comforted her that there was plenty there. And it was an important time for her because she needed that comfort. She was going to go absolutely berserk if she was down to just that one jar of spaghetti. The children of Israel went into the wilderness with water. Don't kid yourself. The Bible talks about them going in with wagons. What do you think they had in the wagons? Don't you think they also carried water with them? It wasn't that they didn't have water for 3 days. It's that the water was almost ready to run out. And so the children of Israel panicked. And they started thinking, let's go back. Let's be slaves again. Because of the fear that God would not provide. The fear of what was up ahead. See, they got their imaginations involved. I've known people that have had bills. I'm sure none of you have bills, but I've known people that have. And they suddenly have an income cut off for some reason. Maybe they lose a job or the check gets lost or whatever. And they start thinking, oh my, if I'm late on this, it's going to ruin my credit rating. And if I don't have a credit rating, I won't be able to buy a new car. Well, you didn't make enough money to buy a new car anyhow. But there they were, you know, panicking about what this is going to do to them in the future because they couldn't make their payment on time. And, you know, this is what people do. It's part of human nature to fear and imagine what is up ahead. What does that do to a person? It puts them under stress. It makes them afraid. They don't feel comfortable. And all over something that is just imaginary. They don't know what's going to happen up in the future. I knew of a guy one time who Thanksgiving came around. And he had a fairly large family. And he was working. But he had a couple weeks docked. And he wasn't going to get a paycheck that week. So he was concerned. Don't have any Thanksgiving meal. Hardly any food in the house. Here it is Thanksgiving and nobody cares. Nobody's going to get anything for us. And I'm going to have to tell my children, hey, you know, suck it up. Just take it easy. We'll get through this somehow. And there he was, all tight, all upset. And then the church came, brought him all sorts of stuff. They had one of the best Thanksgivings they ever had. But you see, the fear was there. And there was a concern in his imagination that things wouldn't play out the way that they did. You know, when we depend upon our carnal nature to look ahead, it's almost always negative. It's almost always negative. And yet, when you spend the time thinking about the promises of God and how good God is and how God always answers when you ask right, then that's a joy. That's something that lifts you up. You can't be depressed when you can look ahead and say, God gave a promise, and God's going to fulfill it. You know, one of the things that all of us have to face from time to time is physical pain. Sometimes that physical pain can be so intense, you wonder if you're going to live. Now, you've got a choice at that point. You can either become depressed and say, no, I'm not going to make it. How terrible. I'm going to leave and all my friends and miss all my family and so on. Or you can say, you know what? I'm going to get fine. The Lord's going to heal me. I'm going to do well. And you know, whether the Lord heals me down here or whether he gives me a new body up there, I'm going to be fine because God's promise is true. And you got a choice. At every decision area in your life, you have a choice to either become depressed, strung out in your own imagination, or as a Christian, taking the promises of God and saying, you know, they're real. I believe them. And I have something to look forward to. Like I said, a person who looks ahead and has something good to look forward to never gets depressed. It's only when you allow imagination to kick in and you dwell upon, oh, then this is going to happen, then that's going to happen, then that's going to happen, and it all sounds bad, that's when you get depressed. Over in Matthew chapter 6. Here's something to think about. You know, we were mentioning about when a person gets low, whether it's a jar of spaghetti sauce or what it might be, that humanly we kind of panic and say, oh, I've got to get this stuff. And people do. Loaf of bread, milk, whatever. I mean, that's the reason why there are so many convenience stores. For people who only want to buy one item and they say, I have to have this now. You normally wouldn't pay, nobody goes shopping for their whole week's groceries at a convenience store. It costs too much. But when you have something that you need right now, then that's the place you go. But while we have a tendency to do that, what happens when you get low in your spiritual strength? I want you to look at that as a commodity for a minute. What happens when you get low spiritually and you know that you aren't as close to the Lord as you ought to be? Yet you know that if the devil was to come up and touch you, you just fall back because you don't have enough strength to resist him. What do you do when there are spiritual needs that you used to have and you've just about run out now? How do you handle that? Are you as intent about getting replacement and getting filled back up as you would be as if it was a jar of spaghetti? How do you handle something like that? Matthew chapter 6, Jesus puts the emphasis where it ought to be. Take a look at verse 25. He says again, let's see, got the wrong scripture here. Verse 26, 25. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? What emphasis is Jesus placing here? He's placing an emphasis on spiritual needs, isn't he? What happens when your spiritual needs start running low? What happens when that supply of excitement, of joy, starts running low? Have you ever taken time to think about that? It happens to everybody. Yet one day you wake up and you say, man, what happened to me? I'm just feeling blah. I have no joy, have no peace. What's the matter with me? Well, you've run low. So what do? You start thinking negatively. Well, Lord, where are you? What happened to you? Have you abandoned me? Well, why do I feel the way that I do? Some people will do that. Some people start looking at their lives and say, man, where is God? And if God isn't with me, then all sorts of bad things are going to happen to me throughout the day. When you see yourself low, just about out of spiritual needs, things that you ought to have as a Christian, and they're almost gone, what do you do? Pardon?
Fall on your knees.
Fall on your knees. Okay? You go to the Lord to get recharged, don't you? You go back to Him. But if you allow your imagination to take over, you could be blaming God by saying, God, where are you? I don't feel your presence. I don't feel real excited about when I read the Bible. I'm not as close to you. What happened to you? When all the time it's us, isn't it? It isn't God. He's never abandoned us. He's faithful. Jesus puts the emphasis on spiritual things. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? And then down a little further in verse 31, he says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? God says, there's the emphasis. And yet, how much time do you spend going through a catalog or a sales paper looking at material stuff? Do you spend nearly that amount of time getting in the Bible and shopping for what you need there? You see, the emphasis ought not to be on the physical that you're going to have to leave behind anyway. And I'm not saying take care of your body. You should take care of your body. But God says, I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to supply. What we need to be most concerned about is our spiritual needs and to make sure that spiritually we have everything that God wants us to have. Over in Matthew chapter 10, let's go over just a little bit further. Now, God blesses faith, not worry. Matthew chapter 10, in verse 19. When they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you at that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Now, God says, I'm going to take care of everything. Even if you have to give a testimony to somebody, you don't have to be concerned about running out. When you're dependent upon me, God says, I'm going to work through you. I'm in you. I'm going to work through you. And so he supplies that need. David, Psalm 73 and verse 2 says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Now, you read the rest of the psalm, you see he got convicted. I'm sorry, this is Asaph, not David. He got convicted and he realized, man, I ran out of steam. And instead of coming and asking God for help, I sat around getting angry and getting upset and imagining what's next and let my imagination run away with me. And he says, I was miserable. I was miserable. He says, and then I went back into the house of God. And he says, I heard the word of God. And he says, I realized God has a purpose in everything. And God refilled me. And God blessed me and gave me that joy again. Man, that's what people need today. There are so many people who are excusing their behavior on depression. When, for the Christian, there's no reason for depression. Because no matter what state you find yourself in now, you've got something better to look forward to. No matter what your condition is, there's something better that God has for you. That's His promise. I mean, isn't heaven going to be better than this? Isn't the new body that God has for us better than one you have now? And isn't the presence of the Lord physically right there before His throne going to be better than what we have right now? Absolutely. So God has something up ahead for us that is a blessing. And there's no reason for a Christian to be depressed when we've got something to look forward to. Now, over in Matthew chapter 6, again, when he's talking about the not taking any thought for tomorrow and so on. You know, when people assume the worst, and let's face it, people generally do that. They assume the worst about people. Somebody who has had a history of alcoholism, or somebody has a history of beating his wife or something. They think the worst anytime they hear something about that person. And yet that person may have gotten saved. God revolutionized their lives, changed them from inside to out. And they're not the same people they used to be. But human beings look at those people and they assume the worst no matter what time frame it is in. And that's all wrong. God has not given the spirit of prophecy to everybody. And there are a lot of people that if you sit down and you talk with them, and they start telling you their troubles, and then this is going to happen, that's going to happen, then that's going to happen. If you were to ask them, how do you know? Well, I just know. I just know. Well, unless God made you a prophet, then you're depending upon your carnal nature. And that's a dangerous thing to do. God doesn't give the gift of prophecy to everybody. And you know, if you look back and if there was even one time when you were wrong, then that disqualifies you from being a prophet of God. Just one time, it's gone. So you're depending upon your carnal nature. And this is what we fight all the time. The carnal nature wants to pull us down. Carnal nature wants to make us depressed. The carnal nature wants to rob us of our joy. That carnal nature needs to come under control. And the way to get it under control is for your spirit to be so yielded to the Lord and His spirit that that carnal nature just doesn't have any room, doesn't have any time. In Luke 12:31, it says, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." The one thing that Jesus kept setting before the disciples, if you think about it, and I know you've all read the Gospels, when Jesus told his disciples that he was going to be crucified, he was going to suffer, and then he was going to rise again the third day, they didn't want to hear it. They really pushed that out of their minds. And of course, that's why the women came with spices on the first day of the week, the day Jesus rose, because they still expected the body to be in the tomb. So here are a bunch of really depressed people because they didn't listen to God. They didn't look forward to what something Jesus said was going to happen. The disciples were depressed. They were in an upper room. They had all the doors and windows shut. There were a couple of them, Cephas among them, who was headed down the Emmaus Road. They were going back home. Because why? Well, we thought that Jesus was the answer, and we were there this morning, and the women said that he had risen, but we can't believe that. Why couldn't they? Jesus already told them that he was going to rise again. Why couldn't they believe that? They already heard the testimony of the women, that the angel said he had risen. And there they were, walking away. They were depressed. They were depressed. When you fail to believe what God says, it's going to be very easy to get depressed. When God says, "I'll supply all your needs," it is very easy to get depressed. There were times when I was living up in Chattanooga. I was going to school full time. And there were times when I didn't even have any coins to even jingle at all. No coins at all. No money. And I'd run out of food. And yet, there was this promise that God said, "I'll supply all your needs." And so I went back to the apartment one day where I was living, and there, right in front of the door, bags of groceries somebody had brought. and said, from the Lord. You know, I didn't get depressed about not having any money because I knew the promises of God were real. I knew that God was faithful. And he was. We had a real hard winter when I was up in Chattanooga. And I've shared some of that with you before, but we had just electric heaters in that apartment. And the power went out. Wasn't anything. And along comes somebody with a propane heater. They didn't know we had a need, and they brought it. Power came back on. Another week went by. Another storm came. And you just have one heater. Now, you can't spend all your time in bed. Can't spend all your time in just one room. Yeah, you have to go to other areas. And when you're talking about well below freezing temperature up there, it got kind of rough. And so all of a sudden, we have a visit. Somebody drove up from Decatur, Georgia. They didn't know our situation at all. And they said that the Lord told them earlier that week to go out and get us something and bring it to us. And they brought us a heated blanket, an electric blanket. And, you know, that was such a comfort, such a blessing, because we didn't tell anybody. Didn't let them know a thing. But God was faithful. And you know, there wasn't any reason to get depressed because we knew that God was faithful. We knew that he comes through for us. What a great God we serve. The only way that we can get depressed, and you know, really, the ones who should be most depressed are the devil and his angels. They should be depressed because what kind of a future do they have? Kind of a scary one. The Bible says that the lake of fire is prepared for the devil and his angels. And you know, whatever happens in this country, and it doesn't look good. So far as being realistic about freedom, so far as being realistic about the economy in this country, it does not look good. But you can't get depressed about it because there's an economy in heaven where God's in charge. That there is an economy where God has all the things worked out. Everything's going to work perfectly. And God has a home for us there where everything is right. People get upset about thieves and so on. What does the Bible say? He says, put your treasure where thieves can't break in. Put your treasure where moths and rust don't destroy what you have. He says, I have that for you. Man, that's something to look forward to, isn't it? I mean, how can a person be depressed when they believe the promises of God? You say, yeah, but I have to deal with things right now. Yeah, and if you dwell on what is here right now, it'll make you sick. If you take in every news article and see all the media and all the stuff that's going on, if you look at all the people running for president in this country, it'll make you sick. But you know what? We don't need a president. We need a king, the King of Kings. And he's coming back for us. He's coming back for us. And he's going to rule and reign, the Bible says. We just can't assume certain things. We have to take the promises of God and believe them. You know, fear, worrying about the future can be a habit. But it can be overcome. It can be overcome. There's a little book in the Old Testament, Habakkuk. And in Habakkuk chapter 3, it says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The God of my salvation. You know, one of the things a lot of people tend to forget is something that Jesus said to Nicodemus. You remember Nicodemus came to him at night and said, what must I do to enter into thy kingdom? And Jesus told him, you have to be born again. And then there's that famous scripture, whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but hath, that's present tense, hath everlasting life. That means that if you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior already, you have eternal life now. You don't have to worry about whether you're going to stand before God and God's going to say, nah, you weren't good enough. Because the blood of Christ has washed away your sins, and you know that. Yet you have that promise, that blessing. And see, that's what Habakkuk was saying. I can rejoice because God is my salvation. God has been faithful. He's already given me salvation. And it only gets gooder and gooder as time goes on. But fear can be habitual. There are an awful lot of people that aren't willing to overcome, that have lived in fear and lived in depression for so long that it's just easy for them just to fall right back into it again. Now, it's a battle, but it's a battle that can be overcome. And if you find yourself one of those people that keeps going back into depression because, you know, that's what you've always done all your life, and then you're out of it for a little while and something happens and you fall right back again, and then you're out of it and back, it's tiring when you keep falling back. The great thing is that God is able to keep us and keep us going forward. The great thing is that God has empowered you as a believer by sending the Holy Spirit into your body where He dwells. He's there. And because the Holy Spirit is there, He can empower you to overcome things that you just fell back into naturally most of your life. But now you don't have to do it because God has provided that strength. We need to train our soul to think by faith. We need to train ourselves to think by faith. There are an awful lot of things that we know that we can do by repetition. When you started driving a car, you just didn't get in it and you were a master at driving down the expressway just the first time. You did it over and over and over again. A person who works a metal lathe at a shop, he just doesn't put a piece of metal in there and first thing without even any practice decides he's going to put out this intricate metal piece the very first time. It takes practice. These are things that we understand about every other place. Every other situation in our lives. We have to do it over and over again. So if you find yourself falling backwards, here's something to keep in mind. Fight it. It's a battle, but keep at it. You'll master it. Train your heart to have faith. Trust in the promises of God. And you won't have to be in the land of depression. God will lift you up and keep you out of it. Paul expected his judgment to go well. He says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing shall I be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or death. And Paul says, I have this earnest expectation. I anticipate that when I stand before God, the things are going to be right because of what Jesus has already done for me. And so far as my body is concerned, he says, I'm not concerned because if I'm down here with this body, I'm going to serve God. If I'm up there, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to be rejoicing because of the promises of God. You know about Abraham. How old was he when he had his child? 100 years old. 100 years old. that's too old to be having kids. I mean, you can hear people today, Abraham, just think about this. How old will you be when he graduates from high school? You can hear all the things going on. But the whole idea that he could even have a child at 100 was considered absurd. And people mocked him. They ridiculed him. They thought it was funny that his name, Abraham, meant father of many nations. But here's what the scripture says. Genesis 15 and verse 2, Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And then he goes on down a little further. He said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And then this verse, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, either we believe that God is able, or we dwell in the land of depression. Up and down, back and forth. God doesn't want that. He wants us to be like Abraham, that even though humanly it seemed impossible to have joy, to have happiness at his age, here he was going around for years and years telling people, going to have a son, going to have all sorts of grandkids, great-grandkids, man, it's going to be great. Now he reaches 100. Just about ran out of steam by faith, some people would say. But not Abraham. Because he had this one thing, the promise of God. And if God gives a promise, you can depend upon it 100%. That's the one thing that he had. And so Abraham, every day he got up, God, I'm ready. Lord, when are you going to do this? So far, no child. Lord, I'm looking forward to this. The Bible tells us that Abraham believed God and God counted it unto him for righteousness. Abraham had joy in his life. He wasn't a depressed man, wasn't a miserable man. Because he had the promise. Now, what promise can help you today? There are just so many of them in the Bible. Maybe the promise of strength and power through God's Holy Spirit to enable you to accomplish things in life that you haven't been able to do yet. But God has you alive so you can do them. They haven't been done yet, but God gave you the power. It's there. You have something to look forward to. Or maybe it's the promise of eternal life where God said, repent of your sins. Put your faith in me. And the Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And that is what God wants from you today. He wants to set before you a promise that when you repent of your sins and believe with your heart, here this promise will be fulfilled, a forgiveness, a promise of eternal life, a promise that he gives to his people, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God stands ready to give you some awesome promises today. With those promises, you are armed and completely capable of going through whatever you have to deal with in this life with joy. Because God's promises are great. You know, a politician came back this week from the Middle East, and like Neville Chamberlain did after his little visit with Hitler before World War II, said, there is peace in our time. We've got a contract. We've got an agreement. And it doesn't seem like anybody's happy because they can't believe what he says. They can't believe what Iran says. They can't believe what the European Union says. But here's the advantage that you and I have as believers in Christ. God's not a liar. And everything that he says is true. And this morning, you and I can look to the Word of God, and there's a promise in there for you this morning. There is a promise that God gave, and with joy, we can welcome it into our lives. Let's bow in a word of prayer. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. Just when you think that your troubles almost have you, almost pull you down, here's something that God said. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You need peace this morning? You're not going to find it in Obama. You're not going to find it in the politicians. You're not going to find it in this world. You'll find peace only in Jesus. You don't find peace in Muhammad. Look at these agitated, crazy people going all over the world. There's no peace in Muhammad. But there's peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him today. Put your faith in him. Repenting of your sins, realize that he went to that cross for you as well as for me and everybody in the world who would receive him as Savior. Let me encourage you today. Take the promise that God has for you today and keep it before you. Keep it before you. Lord, I thank you for your great love to us. I thank you this morning that we can look to your word and see how sometimes people struggled with your promises because they're so great. But Lord, you've given to us today the truth that we don't have to be down like the children of Israel who almost ran out of water. You were there to provide whatever they needed. Lord, you've been faithful to us in providing what we need spiritually. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit today would encourage each person that's here to realize you love them, you care about them, and you want to be close to them. Lord, by faith, I pray that they would reach out and claim different promises that would apply to different ones that are here today. Lord, help them to truly trust you. And Lord, by doing so, rid themselves of depression and look forward to your promise with joy. Father, we thank you for your love to us. But we know that you want us to make commitments to you. We know that these things just don't happen and just fall out of heaven. You expect a response from us in order to receive what you have for us. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in doing that. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, shall we? We invite you to come at the invitation if there are areas in your life that you want to commit to the Lord today. Maybe your whole life to Jesus Christ as your Savior. We invite you to come.